Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of the captivity. Let me just remind you of this. Although Israel, or pardon me, Judah, was released from captivity, the 70 years they went into captivity, then they were allowed to go back and rebuild the temple, and Nehemiah rebuilt the walls and all this, they still were not a sovereign nation with a king. Okay? So this is talking about future. Okay?
Has that taken place yet?
Probably not. I don't think Jacob's trouble, as I know Jacob's trouble has taken place. I think you'll see this more in the Revelation. Daniel refers to it, and I think that's a time of unprecedented suffering for the nation of Israel that would probably be paralleled maybe with the suffering that's not recorded between the Old Testament and New Testament in the days of the Maccabees and that time period. But this is evidently an unprecedented suffering in the way it is documented. Where Israel will experience some hard times. But it will be delivered.
And I'm not talking about end times, I'm just talking about when they come back, will they come back as Israel and not Israel and Judah?
They'll come back as one. And if I'm not, if I understand it correctly, this is already begun. Probably you saw the major step of identity anyway in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. See, prior to that, even though they go back to their homeland, they're still not a nation. They're a people in a nation, still under the control of that time, the Persian Empire. Okay? And then you follow down, you know, the Grecians followed the Persians and then the Romans. The Jews had, like the high priest is like the Pope today, a political position that has influence. But they're under the jurisdiction. They were under the jurisdiction of the law then. They're under the jurisdiction of the law today. Okay? But the day's coming when they will not be serving any man. You understand? And that's what happened in 1948, is to where they became a sovereign nation again. They have their own appointed leader. Okay? But they do not have David's descendant enthroned yet. Now, there have been people there who have been in that descendancy of David, but we're talking about something higher, okay? So it's already begun, and it's an interesting thing how this has come about, because some of the Jews were expelled, like in Russia, under very hard conditions and all that. And there are agencies in the different various parts of the world that have financed the return of Jews to Israel. And yet there are many more to return. The United States has an extremely high population of Jews. I don't know if it still holds true, but at one time we had more Jews here than they did there. Okay? And God's called them from all corners of the earth. People just, I've read some interesting things the last several years of Jews very successful here and get burdened to go back and give up their businesses and all this to go back to their homeland. Well, that sounds to me like Ezra and Nehemiah. really, if you think about it, to where they're rebuilding that. So it's not coincidental. It's not that things are occurring like they are today. Israel's the hot spot, will always be the hot spot until God puts it all underfoot. You understand? So don't think it's strange that armies come against Israel. And Israel will experience. I believe there's a tremendous persecution that's coming, if I understand the scriptures correctly, to Israel. But afterwards, they will accept the Messiah. The nation will be saved in a day, is the way the scripture says. Interesting. So this is already, I think, in process. Okay? That answer your question? Okay. And that's about all I know about that. But this time of Jacob's trouble, I believe, is his future. Verse 8 says, "For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God." And right here's what I was referring to. "And David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore do not fear." Jesus will rule with a rod of iron, you understand. He will sit in throne. "Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, and be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid." Now, that hasn't quite happened yet, has it? "For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished." You know, it interests me. You ever look at Israel on the map? I mean, we're talking tiny. We're talking about a very small place, and yet that's a volatile part of the world, isn't it? And it don't you think it interesting that they can't be overthrown? That would have to be divine intervention. You understand the Six-Day War with Egypt, there was no apparent reason for Israel to win that war. But I remember reading, I don't know if it was Post Magazine or Life Magazine, years ago. What was that, 67? Was it 67? I remember reading an article where they interviewed some of the soldiers from Egypt and asked them the tank. They jumped out of their tanks and ran. And just left the tanks there. When it looked like Israel was defeated, Egypt had them defeated. The infamous Six-Day War, right? And these soldiers said they saw a host dressed in white and they got scared and run. Mm-hmm. I said, sure they did. We know who's fighting that battle, don't we? And you know the deal with the rock prior to this last deal, Desert Storm. Do you understand that they were paid millions and millions of dollars not to fight their enemy, but let us fight their enemy? The United States paid a lot of money. Other nations paid them money. We're going to give you this money. You sit back and let us fight your battle. You think that's not God? Something when you look at it. God cares for them. "For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable, your wound is severe. There is no one to plead your cause, that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Why did you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities. Because your sins have increased, I have done these things to you. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you, I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Now, he's speaking to a nation here. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks you. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mound. Did that happen? Oh, yeah, it happened. And the palace shall remain according to its own plan. Then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of those who make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. See, they're small right now, aren't they? Their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all who oppress them. Now, right there is a reason, man, not to ever make Israel an enemy. I mean, if you're going to ally with anybody on earth, ally with Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, right? Their nobles shall be far from among, their nobles shall be from among them, and their governor shall come from their midst. Then I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me. For who is this who pledged his heart to approach me, says the Lord. When he's talking about the nobles there and the governors, he's talking about their leadership's going to be out of their own nation. There's not some other nation sending leaders in there to govern them, okay? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it. Okay? Now, chapter 31 is the restoration of Israel is declared, and a new covenant's announced to them. It says, at the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I gave him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. Now remember earlier, he talks about there's not going to be any rejoicing. He said, but it's returning. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. Now this is Israel now, you understand, not Judah, but Israel. The planter shall plant and eat them as ordinary food, for there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. So you see Israel and Judah there, right? Zion, Jerusalem, Judah. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, the one who labors with child together. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nation. Declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Now, he's not talking about the church here. You understand? He's not talking about Abraham's faith seed here. Some people have the idea that God has forgotten about national Israel and God doesn't care. I was visiting the hospital and a lady yelled at me down the hall. I mean, caught me off guard, and I thought, whoa. Anyway, said, do you believe the Israel's a literal nation or the church? I said, both. there is a spiritual Israel. We're descendants of Abraham by faith. But then there are the literal descendants of Abraham, Isaac. And he's not saying Abraham. He's making it specific here. He's saying Jacob. You understand? Israel. He's getting a distinction here to where there's no question about to whom he's referring. It says, "For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, ransomed him from the hand of the one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, new wine, and oil. For the young of the flock and the herd, their souls shall be like a well-watered garden. They shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy, will comfort them, and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." Now, if I understand this next one here, it's messianic prophecy, and you see if you don't see this. "Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more." Do you remember what that refers to? Remember the wise men coming looking for the baby? Looking for Jesus? And God warned them, told them to go back a different way. What did Herod do? And then you'll see this quoted in reference to that. So this has already been fulfilled there. "Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You've chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. Surely after my turning, I repented, and after I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord." Now if the Lord will do that for national Israel, I believe he'll do that for a prodigal, don't you? "Set up signposts, make landmarks, set your heart toward the highway, the way in which you went. Turn back, O virgin of Israel. Turn back to these your cities. How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. They shall again use this speech in the land of Judah and in its cities when I bring back their captivity. The Lord bless you, O home of justice, and the mountain of holiness. There shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together farmers and those going out with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. After this I awoke and looked around, and my sleep was sweet to me. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord." Does that sound familiar? Very beginning of Jeremiah, God told him that's what he had called him to do. But there's coming that time to plant and to build. "In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That's through Jesus, isn't it? Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon, the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar? The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. So that means the sun has to stop giving light, and the moon and the stars have to stop giving light, and the sea doesn't respond. I believe it's safe to say that there'll be a nation, don't you? Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for the Lord. Well, can it be done? No, only God could do it. Man can't. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord from the Tower of Hananah to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall again extend straight forward over the hill Garab. Then it shall turn toward Goath, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields far as Brook Kidron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down any more forever. Sound like a pretty good deal there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So now he's talking about the building and the planting, isn't he? Well, we'll stop there, and then we'll pick back up with chapter 32. Now, remember,